You're listening to the Accidental Creative Podcast. Since 2005, we've delivered weekly tips to help you be prolific, brilliant, and healthy. My name is Todd Henry. I'm your host. This episode is sponsored in part by Indeed. 2022 is the year you're going to take your business to the next level, but you'll need the right team to make it happen. Indeed makes it easy to hire and build a team with the right skills to make your dream a reality. Start hiring right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at indeed.com/creative. Offer valid through March 31st. This episode is also sponsored in part by our free 12-week Everyday Brilliance course. Absolutely free 12-week video course that will help you build practices to make you prolific, brilliant, and healthy. Sign up at accidentalcreative.com. If you're new to the show, we talk about the pressures of having to go to work every day and solve problems and make things up and interact with others and collaborate and deal with difficult clients and difficult managers. In other words, all of the pressures that come with being a creative professional or someone who has to solve problems every day. And one of the things that is unique about doing creative work is the massive amount of uncertainty that we have to wade through every single day. And with uncertainty comes risk, because you can spend days or weeks or even months working on something and never know if it's going to work until the end, because creative work, problem-solving work, is often subjective. You can think it's a brilliant solution, but your client or your manager or your boss's boss or whoever may completely disagree with you for reasons you're not even aware of. So there's a tremendous amount of risk involved, and you're often speaking your perspective into a situation where other people may have differing opinions. People with different levels of authority and responsibility in the organization may strongly disagree with you. And so as a result, it can be very difficult to feel confident when you're presenting. Feel very difficult to feel confident even in your own ability as a creative pro when you begin to doubt your perspective or when other people disagree with you. You may start to think that maybe your mind isn't working properly because you're not thinking as clearly as everyone around you. And when this happens, when that dynamic takes root, it's easy to lose your confidence. Now, this is something I hear from many of my clients that I work with, is that often people on their team express that they simply don't feel confident when going into a client presentation or presenting something internally to the organization or even presenting an idea in a meeting. There is a general lack of confidence that is expressed in the idea, or that is kind of supporting and bolstering the idea. Well, when we lack confidence, even the best idea may be overlooked. It may be dismissed if we don't present it in a way that garners the attention of the people we're presenting to, because we lack the confidence necessary to give the idea its due weight. So we're going to be having a phenomenal guest in a few weeks. Dr. Nate Zenser is going to be on. He is author of a brand new book called The Confident Mind, and he's going to be sharing with us how we develop a confident mindset in more of a general sense. But today, I wanted to talk specifically about finding creative confidence and what it means to have creative confidence when you're presenting an idea, when you're leading other people, when you're developing a product or developing an idea. There are a couple of forces that can work against us that we have to be very, very mindful of when we're doing creative work. And so I want to talk about some of the causes of a lack of confidence. What are some of the dynamics that cause us to lose our confidence as creative pros? And then we're going to talk about a solution for each of those three areas. So if you ever find yourself lacking confidence, this is going to be an episode that you can come back to, hopefully over and over again, to reroute you in the basic principles of creative confidence. Okay, so in order to really understand why we lose our confidence, we have to understand the root causes that affect our ability to perceive our own capabilities as sufficient to the demands of the situation. So we're going to talk about three causes of a lack of creative confidence. By the way, when I talk about a lack of creative confidence, really, it's kind of a fine line, because there are some distinct characteristics of creative confidence. We're speaking into the unknown. You know, a lack of confidence in general can just mean I don't perceive myself as worthy. I don't perceive myself as being, you know, valuable in some capacity. But creative confidence means I am willing to speak what I see. I'm willing to introduce an idea into a context where it may be wrong. And I'm able to parse my perspective, my ideas, my opinions from my value as a human being, right? General confidence often is, I don't see myself as inherently valuable as a human being. Creative confidence is a little different because when you're creating, when you're expressing yourself in an uncertain environment, you are inherently taking risks. Creativity is risk. It is, because you're trying to bring something into being that hasn't existed yet. And so anytime you express an idea or an opinion, you're inherently taking a risk of some form or fashion. So let's talk individually about the three causes of a lack of creative confidence. And then we'll talk about the three solutions, one solution for each of them. The first cause is something you've probably heard before. It's something that's been talked a lot about recently in books and, you know, podcasts and, you know, in all forms of media, because it's kind of a bit of a buzz phrase, but it's a buzz phrase for a reason, which is, you know, it's just like cliches. Like, it's cliche for a reason because it's true to some extent. And that is what is called, what is known as imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome is a phrase that originally appeared in academia in the 1970s. Originally, it was called the imposter phenomenon, but it describes the general sense that you don't belong in the room, that everyone else has it figured out. You're the only one who doesn't have it figured out. You're the only one who doesn't know what you're doing. So when you go into a room to present, you have a sense that everyone else can see through you, that everyone else can see that you really don't know what you're doing. Everyone else has it figured out. You're the only one who doesn't know what you're doing. Okay, so you feel like an imposter. You feel like you do not belong in the room where decisions are being made. And this is very common among young creative pros, but it is not unique to young creative pros. This is something that even more mature, experienced creative pros have expressed as part of their experience, especially when they're presenting to someone they feel is, you know, maybe above them in terms of, you know, authority or responsibility, or when they're presenting to a really, really big client who's been doing something for a very long time. So it's not unique to young creative pros, but there is a reality to the fact that when you have more experience, when you've presented more, when you've succeeded and you failed and all of these things, that, you know, this tends to dissipate a bit, but it is a very common phenomenon. So the first question I have for you today as it relates to creative confidence, and if you struggle to find creative confidence, here's the question I have for you. Do you ever feel like you don't belong in the room? Do you ever feel like you are uniquely unqualified to be in the room? It's often the case that we feel like we are the only one who experiences imposter syndrome, that we are the only one who doesn't belong. The reality is, in my experience, having worked with creative pros at the very top of their game, leaders who have led very large organizations, multinational organizations, artists who have created work that all of us have likely experienced at some point, the reality is that every single one of these people experience this imposter syndrome phenomenon on occasion. Everybody feels on occasion like they don't belong in the room. So we're going to talk about how we deal with imposter syndrome in the back half of this episode. But I want you to, first of all, just consider, do I ever feel like I don't belong in the room? Do I ever feel like I'm an imposter? Do I ever feel like, you know, the Wizard of Oz, I'm the person behind the curtain, right? Who's kind of pulling the levers and hoping that nobody pulls the curtain back because I don't want to be seen as seen for who I am. I think many of us, all of us, feel this from time to time. So is that ever you? Is that a source of a lack of creative confidence for you? The second source of a lack of creative confidence is what I'm going to call narrative fixation. Narrative fixation. The stories that we tell ourselves define our experience of reality, but often those stories are not an accurate reflection of reality. So we have these tapes, those of you who remember what tapes are, right, that loop in our head over and over and over again and tell us things that may or may not be accurate, may or not be a reflection of reality, but they define our reality nonetheless, because the story that we believe is our reality. The story that we believe is our reality, or at least our experience of reality. So we have to be mindful of those narratives that we allow to play in our head. For example, this really isn't all that good. You're really not all that capable. Remember that time when you failed at that project? Remember that time everybody laughed at your idea? Remember that time that you thought you were good at something and you went out and you showed everybody and they rejected you or they laughed at you? These are the kinds of narratives that can play in our mind and eat away at our confidence in those critical moments. We become fixated on narratives that are simply not reflective of reality. Now, at the same time, we can become fixated on narratives that may be positive, but also not a reflection of reality, which means they really aren't positive. They're just positive slanted, right? So, for example, we can think we're more capable than we are. We don't have an accurate assessment of our abilities. And the reality is that, you know, there are situations we don't belong in. I'm glad that I am not the first person called when the power grid breaks down, right? Like I can have all the confidence in the world, but you know, that confidence isn't a reflection of reality. So we have to have accurate narratives that are guiding our mindset, guiding our behavior. So narrative fixation is the second thing that can lead to a lack of creative confidence. And we're going to talk again in the back half, we're going to talk about the three solutions, one for each of these three causes. Okay. So we have imposter syndrome or imposter phenomenon. The second one is narrative fixation. The third is what I call risk delusion. Risk delusion. In order to create effectively, in order to lead effectively, we have to be able to assess risk appropriately. We often misassess risk. We often overascribe the perceived consequences of failure. There's a guy named Neil Feary who I often reference when I'm talking about fear in creative work. He does work that kind of illuminates some of the causes of procrastination and some of the reasons why people put off important work. And he does a little thought experiment where he says, hey, imagine that I put a wood plank on the floor, you know, let's say 10 feet long, 6 inches wide. And I'm paraphrasing his work, by the way. And I ask you to walk across that plank on the floor. Could you do it? And people will say, well, of course, it's a wood plank on the floor. Why wouldn't I be able to do that? He'll say, great. Now imagine I take that plank and I suspend it 100 feet in the air between two buildings. Now, could you walk the length of that plank? And they'll look at the imaginary plank and look at him and say, no way. Are you kidding? There's no way I'm walking a wood plank 100 feet in the air. Well, what's changed about the technical skill required to walk the plank? Absolutely nothing, right? If you can do it on the ground, you can do it in the air. What's changed are the perceived consequences of failure, which in this case is plummeting to your death. So I kind of get it, right? But listen, I think many of us go through our days artificially escalating planks, artificially escalating the perceived consequences of failure. This is what I mean by risk delusion. We are deluded about the actual risk involved in doing something. And so we become paralyzed. We lack confidence because we don't have an accurate understanding of the risks involved in what we're about to do. Okay, so those are the three causes, in my experience, of a lack of creative confidence. Number one, imposter syndrome. I don't belong in the room. I'm the only one who doesn't know. I'm the only one who doesn't have it figured out. Number two, narrative fixation, which is when we allow soundtracks or tapes of past experiences to play in our mind and define our experience of reality. And again, those narratives can be positive or negative and still be not reflective of reality. So you can be overconfident in a way that's not helpful either. So you have to have an accurate assessment of your capabilities. But more often than not, your assessment is under-reporting your capabilities, not over-reporting your capabilities. And then the third is what I call risk delusion, which is when we lack a clear understanding of the actual risks involved in the work that we're about to do. When we come back from the break, I'm going to talk about three strategies for overcoming these and developing creative confidence, because confidence is like a muscle. Right? We have to develop it over time. And as I mentioned, Dr. Nate Zinsser is going to talk to us about that in a couple weeks. But I'm going to talk about three strategies for overcoming these pitfalls and developing creative confidence when we come back from the break. This episode is also sponsored in part by the My First Million podcast. Listen, if you're the type of person who's always thinking about new business ideas or startup ideas, and you're always thinking about what's the next side hustle I can spin up, well, I've got a podcast for you. It's called My First Million. The two hosts, Sean Puri and Sam Parr, have both started and sold their own businesses to Amazon and HubSpot. And every week, they brainstorm business ideas that you can start tomorrow. These can be little side hustles that make you 10 grand a month or big ideas that could be a billion-dollar thing. They also feature interviews with entrepreneurs like Andrew Wilkinson, Mark Lohr, Steph Smith, and many, many more. So whether you want to explore making $10,000 a month via vending machines or the best non-9-to-5 way to make money or turning Michael Jordan's house into a museum, Sean and Sam have topics for you. You can search for My First Million wherever you listen to podcasts. This episode is sponsored in part by Indeed. 2022 is the year you're going to make the leap and turn your passion into profit, but you need the right team to make it happen. Indeed makes it easy to hire and build a team with the right skills to make your dreams a reality. If you're hiring, you need Indeed, because Indeed is the hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. And Indeed is the only job site where you're guaranteed to find quality applications that meet your must-have requirements, or else you don't pay. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites hoping to find candidates with the right skills, you need one powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. Indeed partners with you on every step of the hiring process. Find great talent through time-saving tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. And with Indeed Instant Match, as soon as you sponsor a post, you get a short list of quality candidates with resumes on Indeed that match your job description. And you can invite them to apply right away. Plus, you only pay for quality applications that meet your must-have requirements. Indeed makes it easy to hire great talent. According to ComScore, Indeed is the number one job site worldwide, and Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. So start hiring right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/creative. Offer valid through March 31st. Go to Indeed.com/creative to claim your $75 credit before March 31st. Indeed.com/creative. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, let's talk about the 3 ways that we begin to develop or find creative confidence. 3 ways to develop creative confidence. All right, so our first cause was imposter syndrome, right? This is when you feel like you don't belong in the room. It's when you feel like everybody else has it all figured out. So the biggest solution that I have discovered to this is that you have to know your material. You have to know what you are presenting. You have to know it inside out. You have to know exactly what you're going to say, what your strategy is. You have to know your stuff. That is the key. Some people try to go into situations and wing it. They try to go in and improvise. If you experience imposter syndrome routinely, you must overprepare. You must overprepare. When I go give a big speech, now I don't always do extensive rehearsal for every speech that I give, but when I go give a big speech, I will rehearse it and rehearse it and rehearse it and rehearse it and rehearse it. If I'm speaking in front of many thousands of people or even larger, I will rehearse. Sometimes I'll even script out my speech and rehearse the script so that by the time I give the speech, it feels perfectly natural, right? Perfectly natural. I don't want to second guess my material in moments that matter. I want to know my material inside out. And so if you're presenting to a client, if you're sharing an idea in a meeting, whatever your situation, the key to overcoming imposter syndrome or the sense that you don't belong in the room is to overprepare and know your material. That way, when you're in the situation, you're not worried about the material. You can just be yourself. You can be more casual in your interactions because you know your material so well. So that's number one, know your material. Number two, how do you overcome narrative fixation? Well, you have to replace your narratives. So there's a guy named Martin Seligman. who is a positive psychologist, and I often reference him actually on the show. He says that there, these narratives that we can become fixated on often take on three qualities. They become permanent, they become pervasive, and they become personal. Okay, so let's say, for example, you failed at some point in a project or presentation or something. I failed becomes permanent. I failed once, so I will fail always, right? That's one way that the narrative takes root. They become pervasive. I failed in this situation, therefore I will always fail in every situation. That's the second way that the narrative can take root. Or they become personal. I failed, therefore I am a failure. We take on the identity of the failure, right? And we make it personal. So permanent, pervasive, and personal are the three ways these narratives can take root. So I encourage you to replace those narratives with a more positive narrative. So for example, I failed, but I learned, right? I fell short in this project, but I understand better now how to close the gap next time. Always add that qualifier on the end of it so that that narrative doesn't become something you're fixated on. Instead, it becomes something that can be a positive spin. It shows growth. It shows adaptability. It shows flexibility, right? You are poised to do something better. So I encourage you this week to spend some time thinking about how those narratives might be taking root. And by the way, listen, those of us who are more experienced, those of us who have been in the marketplace for a long time, you may think, oh, I got this figured out. I know this. Come on. This is ridiculous. This is psychobabble. This is, you know, I challenge you to spend some time this week thinking about how these narratives might be taking root in your life or your leadership. I don't care where you are in your career, how experienced you are. I guarantee you, if you spend 20 minutes this week thinking about narratives that could be affecting your interactions, your leadership, your decision-making, you will find some narratives that could be infiltrating that process and affecting your quality of work, okay? So permanent, pervasive, and personal. Those are the three ways that these narratives take root. Is that happening for you in any capacity? Okay, that's how we begin to overcome narrative fixation, is we replace those narratives with something that is more growth-oriented, okay? The third, as I mentioned, is risk delusion. That was the third source of a lack of confidence. So what we have to do is we have to discuss true risk to dispel perceived risk. Discuss true risk to dispel perceived risk. We often artificially escalate planks. We overestimate the risk involved. What we need to do is understand and assess the actual, the true risk involved, and not allow the perceived risk to artificially escalate to the point that it paralyzes us. So there are risks involved in creative work. That needs to be understood and clearly articulated in a team context, especially. These are the risks. What are we afraid might happen if we do this is a very important and valuable question to ask anytime you're taking a creative risk. It's great. It's necessary. But if we don't have that conversation about true risk, often perceived risk paralyzes us because we allow those narratives about what might happen to overtake our decision-making process. So it's important to pause when you're about to do something that feels a little risky to you and ask yourself, what am I afraid might happen if I do this? And talk about the true risk versus the perceived risk. True risk is it might fail. We might have to do it again. The client may not like it. We may lose the client. That's a definite possible risk if we go this direction. It's not likely, but it's possible, right? Perceived risk is I'm going to be fired. I'm going to be shunned. I'm going to be cast out to the outer regions of our industry. I'm never going to be talked to again, right? These are sort of perceived risks. And again, we don't really think those things, but they're always they're always kind of there. And so discuss true risk to dispel perceived risk. The way that we deal with this effectively is by making sure that we aren't allowing perceived risk to artificially escalate and affect our process. Okay, so number one, know your material. That's how we overcome imposter syndrome. Number two, replace your narratives. That's how we overcome narrative fixation. And number three, discuss true risk to dispel perceived risk. That's how we overcome risk delusion. Again, in a couple of weeks, Dr. Nate Zenzer is going to be coming on to talk about developing a confident mind. He's an amazing guest. I can't wait to share that conversation with you. But hopefully these three tips will give you a little bit of a kickstart in that direction this week. Hey, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you really enjoyed this episode, you're just scratching the surface. Check out AC Premium at acpremium.me. You get ad-free episodes, bonus episodes, worksheets, and much more to help you be prolific, brilliant, and healthy. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.